are listening to a podcast, Device and Fire, episode 192 for the week of April 17th, 2016. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, and pretty soon, actually, 10 weeks of Game of Thrones. As always,
this is Amin,
and this is Kyle, and we have some guests with us today. Why don't you two introduce yourselves?
Who goes first?
You go first.
You did it.
All right. I'm Tanya. I'm Silence on the forums. Do I need to say anything else that covers it?
Okay. We'll try more information out of you a bit later.
Okay.
Hey, this is Michael. I'm Carl Wadeggi on the forums.
Good. And I think, Michael, we've had you on here before, right?
Yeah, it's my second time. Yeah. I'm taking Kyle off my platinum manwoody thing.
You're trying to get your stamps collected for that? Yeah.
Welcome, you two. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
Excellent. So, Michael, you've already been on, just said.
There you go.
So Tanya, you haven't been on.
Nope.
What are our normal questions? I feel like it's been so long since we've had
How did you get into the series, and how did you get into our podcast?
I got into the series. So there's this. So I'm really into the Lord of the Rings, and anything by Tolkien, basically. And there's an artist called Jenny Dolphin, who's done a lot of really, really cool Tolkien fan art, and that's kind of how I found her. And then she also did some Song of Ice and Fire fan art. And then I had a couple of more people mention the series to me as well. And then at some point I decided to start reading it, which was, I don't know, ages ago.
I know that artist, actually. I just didn't know how it was pronounced. I think I called it Jenny.
so she's German. I think it's Jenny. I should know this. Yeah. So I think that was in 2000 and... I think I was way too young to read the books at the time. Probably like 2004-ish or something.
Wow.
And the podcast. So I don't remember, because that's also been quite a while. I don't remember how I found the podcast, but that
You're too
was
young
probably,
for the podcast, too.
I'm probably too young for the podcast. I don't think I am anymore, but I was when I started listening. That's for sure. That was probably in 2000. No, it was in... Was it at the end of 2008? I don't know. It's a really long time ago. I remember that in 2010 I listened to it excessively, and I listened to all the released episodes like 3 times. Because I was finishing school, and I was I really didn't want to study for my final exams. So
tell us honestly, what did you think of Kyle when he first showed up then?
Oh, wow.
See, to me, this is a bit weird, because to me, like, I still feel like Kyle is fairly new to the podcast, even though you've been around for a couple of years now as well. But to me, you're still the new host. I don't know.
I am. I'm the noob. I'm still the baby around here.
you were a good addition. So I'm still listening, so...
I win. Yeah. Very nice. Excellent. Michael, were you able to give us your answers when you first came on?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I'm a show watcher, or that's how I started, which is, I'm newbie. I'm very low on the rankings. So, yeah, but when I stumbled on you guys, it was 2012, I think, and you were like criticizing season 2 on something, and I was like, oh, yes, I like that. And yeah.
We were ahead of the game on that one.
Gosh, are you two going to watch this new season?
No, I didn't watch the last one. I'm not picking it up again either. So
yeah, I'm bailing
out.
I'll
watch it in the distant future, maybe with Bina in a couple of years when all the books are out in 2064. I don't know.
Do you go to the Moots?
We're meeting up on May 1st actually as well.
So, oh, fantastic!
And I met some people in Australia as well, and I'm meeting Imogen in April. It is April. Oh god, that's soon. Okay. So I've met a few people. It's been nice.
Very nice. Where exactly are you two at right now? Where are we talking to you from?
I'm in London at the moment.
And I'm in Australia. Where am I? Next to Brisbane.
Travel details. travel talk.
That's why I like that we have such an international fan base for the podcast and for the books.
It's really nice. Every time I travel somewhere, I try and find out if there's any podcasters there I can meet up with. So.
Why?
are you blowing my mind right now?
And it's quite weird because this is I've moved to a lot of different places, and I just moved to London in October, and this is the first time I've moved somewhere where I know people, and actually the people I know from the podcast are like one of my main social circle now here, I guess. I don't know. And that's really cool. I didn't expect that.
Clubman Woody.
Yeah.
Tanya, who's your favorite character in the books?
I don't know. I think I kind of gave up on having favorite characters pretty early on because it's really depressing.
Oh, isn't it John, right? Or you
yeah, John really Snow. Like John, or
you know, like... I really hate
That's John. Why you chose this chapter.
I
really, really hate John. I've hated him from the so one of the people who recommended the book to me the books to me told me that it was not like most typical fantasy series and it didn't have all those like standard characters you find in every fantasy book and it wasn't as predictable and that really appealed to me and then I remember when I was reading the first chapter when I was reading the Bran chapter where John finds the direwolves I just got so upset because it seemed so. He seemed like such a stereotypical standard fantasy book hero. And then he found the direwolves and then he gave them to his siblings because he's such a good guy and he omitted himself and he was so kind and whatever. And then Karma obviously rewards him by giving him the one special direwolf that's different from all the others because he's different from all the others and they're so special together. And it just really frustrated me. And I remember putting the book down for a week and seriously considering whether I'd continue reading it or not. Because I don't know, John just really put me off.
Damn.
And it hasn't changed. I still really hate John.
Well, yeah, wow. Tell me how you really feel. I don't even have to ask who your least favorite character is.
Yeah.
I'm in the art. I think that's the artist you mentioned, right?
Yeah. Actually, one of the first pictures I saw that she painted that got me into A Song of Ice and Fire was one of Jon Snow on the wall, which is quite... ironic, I suppose.
Ooh, that one's hot. Looks nice.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah, Kazga's checked that one out.
Yeah, I really like that artist. I have lots of her postcards and prints and stuff all over my room, so.
Mm. Well, my internet's running nice and slow today. Oh, sexy times. Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So, Amin, do you have some...
Oh, podcast awards.
You're lagging.
I am lagging.
Totally lagging on us today.
Maybe we should restart this call just to be safe. Are you able to host a call now? Or do you...
Me? I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. How are we now?
I think it's better.
I think so.
Still recording?
Yeah, I think I'm probably recording.
So. Good.
And I will be in a minute, as soon as my computer catches
up. If you guys could look up the artwork from our MS Paint for your respective chapters, somebody could do that. It'd be nice to have it ready.
You always want to look up artwork on a podcast. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I always release that image with the podcast.
Oh, so okay.
It's promoting it. So people, when they go to download or get it, they'll see the image there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I got so many browsers open, I don't want to lag my computer.
Is that you scribbling notes?
I was. I stopped.
I keep hearing you cross out things.
Move that back a bit.
All right, so where were we? Amin, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about the podcast awards, which we've been nominated for in the past, and we're going to give that another shot right now. Right now, in April 15 to April 30 is the nomination phase, and you can go in and nominate our podcast Vice and Fire and Vassals of Kingsgrave. And if you do so, we're asking if you could put us under Entertainment and Best Podcast, and VOK under TV and Film. Category, and it's important. I mean, even if you're planning the vote later, it's important to get that nomination in now so we can actually get nominated first and then go to voting later.
I mean, always pimping us out.
Yeah. We're giving it one more shot. Change the rules a little bit so like past winners can't win again this year. So that could help us a little bit if we get in there.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. So that's the I'll put the link up with the podcast, but podcastawards.com. And the other thing is it's just letting you know, it's pretty much too late to get tickets now. I guess Ice and Fire Con is next week. I mean, it's coming up April 22nd. So Ashley and I will be there along with some other podcasters.
Are you guys going to watch the Game of Thrones premiere while you're all hanging out there?
It looks like we probably will.
Okay.
Yeah, although a lot of people might be gone by then, so it doesn't quite overlap in the best way, but I'll watch it during that trip, but hopefully in the convention itself, if not like on our way, like the night, Sunday night, we still hang out, and then we'll leave Monday, so yeah, we'll see.
Very cool.
Okay, so I guess we're ready to go on to the chapters here, and we have Sansa first. Is it Sansa 3?
I should know, but I've got the chapter recap.
It's Sansa 3.
She gets married. It's that one.
That's a good recap. That was solid, Sarah.
All right, let me expand a bit.
Next chapter.
Please do.
Sansa dons her new gown, and Cersei remarks that she looks very beautiful. Sansa is momentarily happy and thinks that this is how Willis will see her when they first meet, but Cersei shits all over that idea when she gives her a maiden's cloak. Sansa is filled with dread as Cersei explains that she is to marry Tyrion. Sansa says she won't, but Cersei replies that she is a hostage of the crown and has no choice. Sansa is about to run, but Osmond Kettleblack explains to her that wolves are supposed to be brave, which gives her the resolve to go quietly. She later meets with Tyrion, who apologizes for the abruptness of the ceremony and offers to have her wed to Lancel if she would prefer, but Sansa refuses, saying that Tyrion was kind to her once. When it comes to the exchanging of the cloaks, Sansa refuses to kneel for Tyrion, thinking that no one cares about her feelings, so why should she spare his? But when she sees he is humiliated, she kneels down and kisses her husband. At the feast, Tyrion refuses to dance and proceeds to get drunk. Ser Garlan offers to dance with Sansa, which she accepts eagerly. Ser Garlan jokes with Sansa and tells her that although she desires Loras, Tyrion will make her a better husband. Sansa's second brief moment of happiness is cut short when Joffrey tells her that even married, he will still have her in his bed when he desires. When Joffrey suggests they start the bedding, Tyrion refuses and angrily threatens to geld the king. However, Tywin defuses the situation and the couple are sent to their bedchamber. Tyrion tries to comfort Sansa, but Sansa cannot find words to reply. Tyrion is about to consummate the marriage, but decides at the last moment that he will wait until Sansa wants him in her bed, to which Sansa replies that she may never want him in her bed.
Very nicely done, good sir. That was detail filled. I like that.
There's a lot of detail that I think is important. yeah, gotta include it all.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Thank you very much for that.
Good. Now, do you have your artwork for the chapter?
I posted it in the
I mean, it's like, good with the words. Let's get some artwork.
That's the best thing for a podcast. That's how we're going to win the podcast.
Look at it.
I like
it's awesome.
The crystal crown looks weird on the High Septon or whoever that guy is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I do need to get this art book done. It's just us left. Just the podcasters left to do our chapters, and then it'll be ready. So we could get it ready by Comic-Con, potentially.
Oh, man.
Then you can sell it.
Yeah, there you go. Pimp it out. There's some more to pimp out. I mean,
because people would totally pay money for this, right?
We would pay money.
It's free online, but if you want, you can order a blurb thing. But it's like no profit to us. It's just like it's basically. I think a couple people did that, but it's available. But at some point, I do want to put all three books together, and that time I might like put it for profit and put some extra things, just have like a podcast art book.
I'd buy it.
I mean, I really want you to start a podcast just where you just talk about pictures you find online. I think that would be
captivating. We'll fill that niche. I think there's that niche. So you have to describe it. We'll get you to autograph that one too, Kyle, once you get the book out.
To Mike. Very nice.
But George has, I mean, George has now got at least the first two books, because we gave him the second one at Comic-Con like 2 years ago, and then you gave the first
one. You tortured him with the second one?
Yeah, well, Mimi gave him, remember? Oh, it was the second one that she gave to him, and then he took a photo with it. Then you gave the first one originally. So.
Yep. Yeah. How are you going to get the third one to him?
Well, if he comes to Comic-Con again, I'll give it to him. If not, maybe we'll send it via Jasmine, because she always seems to see him every once in a while at conventions. But yeah.
I don't think he's going to the con, man. He didn't go to the premiere, the Game of Thrones premiere this season. I don't know. I think he's locked in.
Yeah. Well, maybe the one after, because then the book might be out.
He'll see you guys coming, and he's like, "Oh shit, they're gonna give me another crappy book again."
Yeah, he'll just run away. Maybe that's the reason he stopped coming to these kinds of things. He's so traumatized.
He hates us so much. Never again. I am never going near those nerds again. Oh, well, that's sad. So, Michael, you were saying there's some important stuff you wanted to hit in this chapter. What was things that stuck out?
Beyond Sansa getting married, Cersei's an absolute bitch, I think is very important to point out. Like, there's this real cycle of abuse that she's essentially putting Sansa through the same thing that she went through, and I guess she feels justified in doing it because she got abused herself. And it's like, yeah, have a shitty marriage, Sansa. It's what all women have to put up with, which I just thought was interesting.
It's really sad. Not that it justifies the way she behaves, but it is sad, I think.
Yes, it is. Reminds me, what you just said reminds me of, do you guys remember the sunscreen song? Wear sunscreen?
Sunscreen?
No.
Some of our listeners probably know of Wear Sunscreen. It was this graduation speech that was so the stories go. It was this graduation speech that was awesome and amazing, and somebody put it to music, and it was like a hit on radio in the U.S.,
That's why we haven't heard of it.
Many, many years ago. But there's a line in it where he's like, be careful of nostalgia. It's like just somebody else's past experiences is kind of like taken out of the garbage and brushed up. And it just kind of reminded me of what you were saying about Cersei, where her past experiences, and she's like, oh, this is how it has to be for Sansa. So I'll kind of just pass that on to her. Here's the thing she should know. It's just sort of this tainted view.
Tyrion mentions the option of maybe marrying to Lancel, and I mean, they kind of mentioned that before, kind of as a trick, but do you think that might have been an option if she actually asked him that?
Yeah, I think it would have been an option, but I think she was obviously right to go with Tyrion. Like, Lancel's still dying, so...
Well, that's good. So it seems like a better option then.
And she could have just, like, broke his neck or something and be like, oh, no, I'm a widow now. Oh, no.
And then they would just line up somebody else for her to marry. Probably Tyrion again.
Oh, yeah. I really hope the two of them will get to see each other again. Because I don't know. I like the dynamic between the two of them.
I think they will. I think there's sort of a reason that they got married in the first place and that it was not consummated.
I have a hard time seeing under which circumstances they meet again. But I mean, I don't know. It might happen.
Well, FD Ward always thinks that they're going to end up on the throne, king and queen. So.
But Stanza.
The dragon has three heads. They can take two husbands. Stannis and Tyrion. Husband pair.
Who's the third then? You gotta get John in there for the semi.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I'd like to see the two of them meet up again and do something. I don't know what, but I think it would be fun. I think it'd be a cool twist.
Sort of interaction would be good. I mean, the people do, I think, unfairly hate Sansa on this point, where they're like, she doesn't want to go with him. They're like, oh, you should go. Well, she doesn't want to go with him. I can't really blame anyone who doesn't want to go with him. It's your own personal choice.
Yeah, she's like 12 years old, and she's obviously had like her wonderful wedding fantasy, and this is like the exact opposite of that. So for the entire wedding chapter, she's basically just in shock, and I can't blame her for that.
I found that one part really, really sad, where she doesn't know what's going to happen next, and she thinks about, I don't know, is he going to touch her again? Is he going to kiss her? Is she supposed to open her legs? What's even supposed to happen? And it's just, I don't know, it seems like such a confusing, scary situation. And I'm glad he handles it the way he does. Because I feel really sorry for her in that situation.
Ugh. Yeah, when Tyrion asks her how old she is, and she says 13 when the moon turns, his response is perfect. He's just like, gods have mercy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then he has this interesting line, you're just a child, but I want you. Does that scare you? And I'm like, it's just what Sansa needs to hear.
She's like, it's a really scary and tense scene, and just don't know what's going to happen. Well done.
But perhaps, I mean, Tyrion's best moment, one of his best ones, that he stops, like, what most, pretty much any other lord there would go forward with.
Yeah, this is like, it really speaks to his moral caliber that, I did not expect.
That then goes downhill in the fifth book.
But yeah, that's true.
Do you think he would have been able to hold true to that word?
had Sansa not fled and he not been brought up for murder.
Well, she was, yeah, she was being like a limp starfish in bed, so it wouldn't have been fun at all. Like, he mentions
starfish.
Yeah, that's it's what you call when you're having sex and they're just...
It's not like those active starfishes. Like that.
Starfish can move.
Well, maybe if you're a Greyjoy, but
all like suction cups all over. Yep.
Oh dear.
You get into tentacle stuff here, so that's not.
Sorry. Not allowed. Not allowed. Limp starfish cracks me up.
We had Shay, so he was focusing on Shay. The only thing he needed later was an heir. Mm. He wouldn't have had to stay with her for long. But.
What do you think Jalaba Joe said to her during the dance? I think there's something up with that guy. I want to believe.
Yeah.
I want to believe he's going to do
something.
Isn't
he locked up right now, though, as a suspect?
Yeah, right at the moment.
They let him go? They let some of them go. I think Cersei was like, we'll let some of them go, so it seems fair. But I don't know if he's still locked up.
I imagine he'd stay locked up because he has no power base. Like, they can just do whatever they want to him and no one's going to say anything.
It sucks. Like, he comes here for, like, amnesty to get help and his accused of sleeping with the queen.
He's just like, God damn it, Westeros sucks.
Yeah, of course they lock up the only black guy there. So,
of course they do.
Yeah. You know what? It would be cool if we had a Jalaber Joe POV just... like in the prisons and he gets out or something.
Oh, he could be some prologue, epilogue, something.
Yeah.
Oh, not a prologue. Yeah. He's convicted of sleeping with Cersei or whatever and he gets executed.
Yeah.
No, but it's Margaery that...
oh, that's right, yeah, Margaery. Yeah.
But maybe they add to his crime Cersei as well. The Faith brings up new charges. It's like, you've also been accused...
So Garlan makes an appearance here. He says like two of his four lines so far, and everyone loves him.
Yeah, you're like, everyone likes him because he's like, he's nice to Sansa and he says well of Tyrion.
He's only said nice things so far.
Yeah.
It's more than you can say about most characters, so.
And they weren't there at the original wedding. Probably they weren't even told about it. They had the wedding rushed and then told them about the reception. The dinner afterwards to come to.
Yeah, I guess, they obviously didn't want to, like, rub it in their faces. And I guess they were hoping that no Tyrell would be like, I object! Although, I don't know if that exists in Westeros marriage world.
Yeah.
Probably not.
So Kevin is going after Lady Janna Fossaway, huh? You think there's anything to be read into that? When he begged for her honor, the dance?
No, I think he just wanted to dance. I think he actually really loves his wife. I think Cersei insults him for that, or like thinks badly, like, oh, he loves his wife so much, what a loser.
She has chicken legs. That's the insult Cersei uses. Yeah. I don't know what chicken legs, that's like thin legs, but like, aren't women meant to have thin legs? Isn't that attractive?
Well, not good for birthing, I guess.
What does that have to do?
I just made it up.
I mean, the hips there.
Then the hips.
I'm not convinced that's
who's the expert on birthing?
I'm with you, Tanya, right there. I mean, tell us about the human anatomy, please.
Maybe it's talking about the difference of standards. I mean, like, Westeros is going to have slightly different beauty standards than we do.
Yeah, they're all slightly bigger. And Sansa's even told at this point, I hope you have lots of fat children.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's kind of this medieval thing, right? Where if you're overweight, that basically means that you're wealthy. So this is an attractive quality.
Yeah. Mm. Well, slightly overweight, because when you get really fat, people like just mock you ridiculously.
Mm.
Okay. Let's see.
Prince Tommen, he wants to be married too. Oh,
that's so sweet.
Okay. Okay. So, Joffrey's super creepy.
You see some of his sexual. No, not even sadism, but you see he's like fondling Sansa's breasts, which I think is just like shows his he's becoming a teenager now, which is also really gross.
And he has the worst role models in kings. He's like looking up the worst kings. He's
yeah,
like, I want to
he's
be
like
those kings.
Aegon the Unworthy for the win.
Right.
He is awful.
Yeah.
What do you think Tywin thinks of Joffrey at this point? Because like post-red wedding chapter when Joffrey like really stands up to Tywin, I imagine that then he's like, shit man, we have to do something. Joffrey needs a sharp lesson. Cersei, you're going back to Casterly Rock. But right now, like, there's been a couple of outbursts, but yeah. Because he's Yeah, in this chapter, he, like, loses his shit at Tyrion, and Tywin just has to intervene. And Cersei also is not behaving excellently. So I imagine Tywin's raising eyebrows at this point.
What would Tywin have done if Joffrey hadn't died? Would he have tried to teach him? Or is it too late for that? Or what was his plan with Joffrey?
Something drastic. Maybe, beat him the fuck up. Just sit him down in the chair.
Good plan.
Yeah, I mean, really... try something once, at least, something drastic to see if it changes him. But I don't know. It's hard to judge a Tywin. Like, do you think he would be so calculating to have Joffrey killed in an accident and just replace him?
I wouldn't put it past him, because Tommen would be so much easier to work with. So I wouldn't put it past him if he was just like, yeah, I'm not putting up with this shit.
It's weird, because he's so devoted to his family. So in one sense, like, putting Tommen in there is good for his family overall, and Joffrey could ruin it for them. On the other hand, he's so devoted, he never killed Tyrion. Like, he never really...
Is he so devoted to his family, or just to his family's reputation?
They support each other. If he kills his family members, it doesn't look good for his legacy.
Like, I'm not saying he's a good parent, but there's something in him stopping from like, killing off one member, or he would have done that to Tyrion already, maybe. But I guess Tyrion had that direct link to his wife.
Yeah, maybe he recognizes that Tyrion can be useful to him. And if Joffrey can't, and he could find a way to dispose of him discreetly, then maybe he'd do it.
Yeah, before this, like, Tyrion was just like this drunken son that was kind of embarrassing, but Joffrey is sort of actively working against the Lannister agenda, so that might push him over.
I mean, maybe it would be some sort of last resort thing. I don't think he'd do that if Joffrey was mildly inconvenient, but if he just saw no other way to I don't know, work with him.
Well, when Joffrey actually died, like, it seems like he probably was even happy that happened. Like, he completely is like, oh, this is perfect. Joffrey's out of the way.
Yeah, now phew. It's all done now.
Yeah. Mm. Get Tyrion sent to the wall, enough to kill him off, but get him to the wall, then he's out of the way. Like, it's like he's trying to make the most of it.
Maybe Joffrey abdicate and go to the wall? I don't know how do you ever make that happen.
I mean, like, Tyrion, once Joffrey's dead and Tyrion's accused, even then he could try to get an advantage out of it. Like, Tyrion thinks this is a chance for him to die, but it seemed he was going to try to push him to go to the wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Confess and then go to the wall. Yeah.
And then Tyrion threatens the king.
Yeah.
And you hear the tires screech, the brakes applied, the whole proceedings. I forgot, in the show, this was such like a tense scene, and it went on for so long that I was surprised rereading this chapter and realizing like how quick it actually goes by. Like, Tywin's pretty much just like, yeah, we can do away with the bedding. All right, get out of here.
Efficiency.
And they leave. Efficient, yes.
Imagine being stuck in that ballroom after Tyrion and Sansa leave. It's just awkward silence. It's like, oh.
Yeah, like in the drawing, like, this is awkward.
Yeah.
I'm sure Joffrey just stamped off into his room or something. Just bastard.
Mm. Okay. Mm. And then the actual room, I just wanted to comment something, because it deals with Tyrion's character. Like, he's always looking for love. He's desperate for love. And so he's like, he's talking to her. He's like, oh, I can be good to you. I'm not like the best looking guy, but I can like try to help you out. And then it says like he was looking at her, waiting for her to say something. And then she doesn't say anything. He's like he's waiting for that. He's desperate for that kind of like affection.
Yeah, and Sansa thinks he looks pathetic. Just like not bad pathetic, but just he's just so wants that love.
Pity is the death to desire.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think eventually if things hadn't gone the way they did and they'd stayed together for a couple of years, I think she could have probably warmed up to him.
Yeah, I don't know if she could have. I mean, we as the readers, obviously, we, you know, most of us like Tyrion and we've certainly warmed up to him, but I don't know. I feel it's a lot harder for her, that's for sure.
Yeah, of course, but if she had like a couple of years, I don't think it would happen anytime soon.
They make the most of the situation. Like, even you're in a horrible situation, they can still try to get something out of it, but take a time to do that.
Yeah, I don't think she would ever love him or anything like that.
Yeah.
But she could certainly, I don't know, become friends with him and like him in some way and respect him.
And rule Winterfell together?
Yeah.
I don't think that ever would happen. Like, I'm surprised how everyone's like focusing on Sansa as the key to the North, but... I don't think any of the Southerners ever understand sort of how much you need a Stark, not a husband of a Stark in Winterfell to get the allegiance.
But if that's why they get, say, you bring the grandson up.
Yeah, it'd have to be that grandson.
So, But like whoever does go with Sansa still has to have Sansa's support, because the second everybody leaves and you're the local support, you'll get killed off if you don't have her support as well, right? Like, unless you have, like, you're not going to have, like, if you're relying on the local North support to prop you up. Like, if you have your own, like, if you're Ramsay, you have your own support. But if you're somebody from the South going up, you can't have, like, a huge force with you there all the time.
Well, Tyrion has the blood of the giants in his veins, so.
So there's a really disgusting description of Tyrion's penis here. It's like the tip is veined and purple and throbbing. And it's just like, holy shit, that's so unappealing.
Even his manhood was ugly, she said. Everything was wrong with him.
You gotta take the rubber band off the base. That'll stop the purple stuff from him.
Sounds like you know.
Yeah. Comic-Con's coming up.
What?
Oh, Sailor Moon, remember?
Oh, okay, Sailor anyway. Moon. It's true.
All right, I think that's it for that chapter, unless you have anything else to say.
No, I think that sums it up.
Good.
Very nice.
All right, on to Arya. What is it, Arya 3, or is it a later one?
No, it's Jon Snow.
We did, Arya, actually. We did. It's John 4, right?
Go, Tanya, go. Let it out.
Eric.
Yep, so... okay, so the bad thing about this is that it's a John chapter, and the good thing about it is that it's fairly short, and John doesn't actually do much or say much, so it's not too bad as John chapters go. So John is about to climb the wall with his wildling friends, and before they do that, he reflects on his relationship with Ygritte and how he wants to be with her, but doesn't want to be one of the wildlings, but can't really take her with him, but doesn't want to leave her, and life is really unfair, and everything sucks. And when he's done... mentally whining about this, I guess. The wildlings start climbing the wall in three groups of four, led by Jarl, Grig the Goat, which is a great name, and Arok. John and Ygritte watch from below, and John hopes that the Night's Watch will notice them, which is shitty if he cares about Ygritte, I suppose, but whatever. But it also doesn't happen, but the wall does defend itself. A sheet of ice breaks off from the wall, taking Jarl and his team with it and killing them. And part of it hits one of the watching wildlings in the face, but of course John and Ygritte are safe because John is a hero and grabs her and pulls her down to shield her. Because he's amazing and he's a great guy and he's a hero and everyone is great. Yep. And eventually Grig and Arok reach the top of the wall with their teams. They use really long ropes. I have a hard time imagining how that would actually work because the wall is really high, but okay. They use really long ropes to pull up ladders so that John, Ygritte, and the other wildlings can follow them. Ygritte says that she hates the wall and asks John if he can feel how cold it is, to which he replies, it's made of ice, just in case she hadn't noticed that, and because he's really, really smart. She doesn't appreciate him being a smartass and tells him that he knows nothing, as usual, and that the wall is made of blood. When they reach the top of the wall, she's crying, and because John hasn't been sufficiently condescending to her, he tells her not to be frightened, and she replies that she isn't frightened and that she's crying because even though they opened up lots of graves, which in hindsight was probably not a very good idea, they never found the Horn of Winter that could bring the wall down and save them all this trouble. And that's pretty much it. So
very nicely done. Beautiful. I can tell how much you love the character. It's marvelous.
Unfortunately, there's no artwork in this chapter, though.
Oh, that's because it's my
Is
bad,
it yours?
Right?
It's one of ours. Yeah.
I think I'm supposed to be drawing this one.
Well, good. This is preparing you for it.
Don't worry about it. It's just a John chapter. It's not that important.
Well, you know what, guys? This is one of my favorite chapters. I love this chapter. The first time I read it, I was
short,
like,
and John doesn't say much.
I just love the imagery of them climbing the wall and racing to the top and the huge chunk falling off and then raising the ladders up and climbing. Although when I first read it, I imagined I didn't realize they were rope ladders, and I thought they kind of like had a diagonal ladder thing going up to the wall. But whoops, so I reread it, realized I was wrong in that. But yeah, I love the imagery. I love how cool this chapter was. No pun intended. But
I like the descriptions of mountain climbing. Like, it really makes you what's it when you have fear of heights? And you get that feeling in your toes when it's like, oh shit, I'm gonna fall. I got that a bit.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's actually, despite being a John chapter, I actually quite like it. Probably because he doesn't say that much and it doesn't really involve him that much. But it is really well written. Yeah.
So I just did the math. All right. You were saying how they didn't have enough rope. So I just did some quick math here. It says that the hill that they start climbing from is already 300 feet up the wall. They say the wall is 700 feet. So that means there's 400 feet left that they have to drop the rope down. And if 8 people made it to the top, that means each person would have had to have 50 feet of rope to make it down. So mm-hmm. how much does 50 feet of rope look like?
And it's thick rope, too. It's like thick as someone's hand, thick as a braid.
The rope ladder that they pull up says that the rungs are as thick as a man's arm.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mention how thick the rope that they drop down is.
Oh, okay.
The rope ladder is going to be really, really heavy as well. That's probably heavier than people, actually. So
yeah.
I don't think that works. I don't think Martin did the math.
How many made it to the top? That went down?
Two teams, and then two fell off when they were climbing the ladder. So 6 people died overall.
Oh, I missed that. Let me do my math.
But the 2 people who fell off and died, they weren't carrying anything.
That was after them.
Yeah, that was when they were climbing the ladder.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, gotcha. And how did they know, like, what happens if only one team made it up? And they would have had only half the rope that they ended up having.
They have to go all the way back down, get the rope off their corpses, and climb up again.
Right. No, they must have, like, I'm assuming each team must have had enough rope. So if just that one team made it up, it would have been fine.
I guess.
But it just, I don't know, it seems like
a
terrible...
Yeah, it's a lot of rope, I'm imagining.
I don't know, I feel like it's all right. Like if I wrapped my rope around my waist is like, what do I wear, like 32-inch? So, couple feet and plus some. I wrap that around a few times. I feel like that's, I don't know. It could be done, I guess, if you do it kind of like a sash.
You could also wrap around the man woody, as I said. So.
Yeah, they wrap it around the man woody, the base of it. That's why.
You're on Tormund's proportions. So.
Oh, okay.
That's what he does.
That's hence
Just don't leave it on too long.
No. God, we are nerding out about this. 50 feet of rope. That doesn't look
maybe
like
that's material. Maybe that explains.
Yeah. On the show itself, does John take part in the main climbing part? Like they just have climbing. They don't have ladders or something, right?
Yeah, it's just the climbing. It's hectic mountain climbing action because that's more exciting.
But I mean, it makes more sense that he's not on the main team going up because you have to have the best people going up first to get up there.
Yeah, you need to be seriously skilled at mountain climbing to be able to do this. Like it's on ice. Yeah. But George
50
has...
50 feet of rope does not look like that, does not take up that much space.
Oh, okay. It doesn't?
I think it takes up a lot of space. I don't know.
I'm looking at some pictures. I mean, that's accurate, right? Google image search, 50 feet of rope, in quotes. don't mess with my logic here.
Okay.
Right.
But George has later stated in interviews that he regrets making the wall so big for a bunch of reasons. One's when they're in the siege and none of the arrows can get the Night's Watch guys. And George is like, if I could do that again, I'd make it a bit smaller.
Next time. At some point, he'll just decide to rewrite the whole thing from scratch because a few things aren't working.
Right. Oh, he needs to start again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can't deal.
Oh, everyone would love that.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. So,
I don't even know how I'd feel about this at this point. I don't know. These books have been around for I read them more than half my life ago. So.
Well, 20th anniversary of Game of Thrones is coming out. I think they're doing a illustrated special edition of it. Cool. So we'll put in our review request for that.
Yeah, but they have to do that quickly before George starts rewriting everything.
I don't know if it's going to be a limited edition or if it'll be like unlimited. You just have to pay more. If it's unlimited, we'll probably get review copies of it.
You're always pimping shit out of me. Are you going to send them some of our pictures to put in the book?
That's a good idea, actually. You can put it in there in the appendix or something.
Yeah, there you go.
If I had known about the, we knew about the Dunkin' Egg thing. I didn't know they were going to have like nothing else in that thing. We should have sent them Mimi's essay. That actually would have fit. The Dunkin' Egg combined work.
That would have been really cool, yeah.
Yeah, because there's nothing in there. Like, you go in, it's like a half-page intro or something, if that, and why not have Mimi's essay in there as well?
The first time the Thans have seen the wall? Did I read that?
Yeah, I think it is because they live so far away.
And they're all afraid of it.
It's blood.
I like that quote. I think it also might mean that blood sacrifice went into making this wall. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I think they actually did.
Paste or something.
Yeah, well, they did do blood sacrifices. Do you think it was actually needed to make the wall, or they just did it at the time there while they were building it?
I think it was needed to make the repelling spell or whatever it has that keeps the dead out.
Yeah. Interesting to set that up. So they actually just made a blood paste and put it into the wall.
Mixed it in with the ice. They have like an old-fashioned cement mixer and they're just putting the blood in.
Snow cones.
Yeah, it is an epic scene going. I mean, they're climbing for hours. Like by the sixth hour, they've made it this far. Crazy. Yeah.
I can't imagine that. I would have fallen off at like 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
Later, guys. I can't do it. Peace.
That's pretty good to get up that far, even. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Huh? I'm practicing my climbing skills.
Just in case, yeah.
So why do they use all their they're using like pittons. They're using their, what do they call them in here? Their stakes. And they run out like a quarter up the wall. And I got to thinking, I'm like, well, if you're going to do most of the wall without stakes, why not do the lower part and then save the stakes for when you get near the top? Wouldn't that be, or is that just crazy logic?
So you don't have to carry them as far and get tired or whatever. I don't know. I'm making this up. I don't know.
No, that is a reasonable answer. Absolutely. I would just think like, you'd want to feel a little safer. You'd be weaker near the top, so you'd want to have like more of a sure hold.
Yeah.
And it's all ice at the top as well. Like it's just rock at the bottom. I wonder if steel would make the ice shatter away, and then you couldn't put it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess some professional climber will hear this and
he's yelling into the mic.
And I am for suggesting.
You should have got your ropes facts straight there, Carl.
I will send him a picture of this Google image 50-foot rope, I'll tell you what.
Okay. One other thing in the chapter was Stone, a snake, was mentioned, who's still missing in action and might still return, potentially.
Oh, do we not know what happened to him?
We haven't seen him, so...
He's the only member of the party, that's not confirmed dead.
Stone snake...
Yeah, and he kind of like it says like John is reminded of him when you see these other wildlings, and it kind of made me think like there's so many people on the watch that are just similar to the wildlings. Maybe even Stone Snake might have been a wildling blood. They're ultimately quite similar. There's some different sides of the wall with some cultural difference, but a lot of the people are very similar.
Well, there he is. There's his picture. He is climbing that wall.
Jarl is dead here, which I think was a surprise for me when I first read it. Like you wouldn't expect him to just die right here.
Yeah, he's the best mountain climber, but I guess, he got too cocky, and he wanted that sword.
Yeah, which I guess works out better for John with Val.
From a Doyleist perspective, it means he doesn't have to kill Jarl, so that, he can be super friends with Val later on. So
with benefits.
Yeah, friends with benefits.
That's what she wants, I think. That's my read of it, anyways.
We get a mention of... The Horn of Joramin.
I'm sorry.
For the first time? Yes. Or maybe not the first time, but we're told specifically that they didn't find it, which is interesting. I'm not sure if all the wildlings knew this, or if Mance had specifically told Ygritte to tell John, or what the deal was, but yeah.
They let the shades loose, though. Is that just whites? Or just an expression?
Yeah, probably.
If they were just whites, I don't understand why you just burn it immediately when you dig it up. I'm thinking.
I don't know if it's necessary. I don't know.
Of those big tombs in Skyrim with all the Draugr that you go in and like you open the door and then they all like get up and start shambling out. So maybe they've got some big catacombs.
I think when I first read this like years and years ago, I thought that this was like in looking for the Horn of Winter, they had loosed the others from somewhere.
Yeah, I got that too.
I don't think that happened. I think...
No, because the timing... I mean, if you trust what Man said, then they were running away and they looked for the horn. But, I mean, he could have lied. But even then, it doesn't seem like they would... Like, what are they? Like, some sort of cell and they were let out? Seems like they're
more of a... That's also kind of a shitty logic.
Bigger scale than that, yeah.
Like, if you're trying to get away from undead zombies, I don't know if you want to dig up graves.
If they weren't even there at all, and you're just like, he wanted to be a conqueror, he went to get the horn, and then he caused this whole problem, and now he's running for his own greed. But it seems the others are more than just, like, something that was let out of a cell. It's more of, a bigger environmental thing. Like, they were coming no matter what. They didn't need one person to go open the cell for them to come out.
Yeah.
Well, they need one person to bring the dragons back.
Yeah, that's probably true. But then if the wildlings wanted to get away from them digging up graves, just doesn't seem like the smart way to do it.
Mm. Yep, okay. So there's one more thing on this chapter I want to mention, unless you have something else to say about it.
I'm just wondering where the horn is.
Oh, Sam's got it. Sam's got it, and it's Does on he? Its way to Old Town, yeah.
Well, John gives him a horn. I guess that's the idea that it might be that horn.
Is that the horn? Okay.
Yeah, because they find it at the Fist of First Men, and I think the idea is that Benjen got there first, took the horn, put it in the Fist of First Men, and so they could do something with it, and then, yeah.
Would it actually have worked then, you think?
It's mentioned as being broken at the moment, so I think, it needs to be fixed. And then
maybe they broke it on purpose.
That would be the smart thing to do. Or just, like, burn it up.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's what I don't understand, because, I think we'll all agree that the wall has to come down eventually if the others are going to get through. So the horn, wherever it is, has to be sounded. But, yeah, who's going to sound it if it's with Sam going to Old Town? Why would they sound it? Why doesn't anyone just blow it? Yeah, many questions, George. You need to answer these questions.
So if Sam blows it in Old Town, will the wall crumble in the north?
Just very faintly, he hears.
Be like right next to
it
the wall.
It seems so, either way, it seems ridiculous that a horn like that could bring the wall down. But if it can bring it down in one place, you think you could do it from what's that much distance for to bring down a huge...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be some magic thing, so presumably it'll be, independent of the distance. I don't know. Or maybe you have to be in, hearing distance from...
So you think the horn is going to bring the whole wall down physically, or do you think it might just negate the spells on it?
Oh.
Maybe it'll make more others come, and then there's so many others.
Maybe it negates the spells, and then they can get through it more easily. Because before, it's blocking what's going on the other side, right?
Yeah.
Narratively, that would be kind of interesting. Like, they blow the horn, and there's no obvious
no effect.
And then all of a sudden, the others show up, and they just, bust through the wall and start walking through, and you're like, oh, okay, it did do something.
Or you're dead and your side start raising up, right? The people that died on the other side.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And they open the door.
Or maybe the entire wall just melts and everyone in Westeros drowns. And
it turns into The Walking Dead. Everybody who dies in the world from there on out just gets resurrected as a white.
Yeah, then season 9 of the show becomes The Walking Dead. It just flips over.
Oh, it's there a prequel.
It crosses over.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
God, these guys, these showrunners, they're so smart.
Yeah, if Martin doesn't finish writing, he can always just...
It just seems to me like magic on magic in terms of removing the spells makes more sense than something that's at least partially physical. Unless the wall could not stay up by itself without some sort of magical support, and then that gets taken away and then it collapses.
Could it though? It probably couldn't. Because I don't think it's realistic to have...
Negate the magical, the blood sacrifice that was put there to block this gets negated, and now the dead start rising because there's plenty of dead on the other side. I think what it seemed is the people need to have died on the north side, brought through, they can still be raised. But if you die, nobody's being raised right now on the south side.
Yeah, they need people to be within this aura or distance of a other, I think. Yeah, when the other's missed or whatever is around.
Hmm.
But right now, if an other came up right up to the wall, he couldn't raise people on the other side of it.
No, because it's been blocked. Yeah. His Wi-Fi signal's being blocked.
Yeah. So horn negates. Yeah, so I think we talked about it. Kind of the Wi-Fi kind of gets extended onto the river because the water is melting from the wall and going onto the river, so they can't go.
They can't swim across. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so just to wrap up really quickly, because it's getting late, but this actually really ties in well with the theory. I don't know if you saw, Kyle, I sent out this link.
Oh, I took a look. Yeah, that's what's the theory? I mean,
the theory is basically it's based on the world of Isenfar, the land of Isenfar map that shows the five forts over in UT, and the whole idea of Azor Ahai and all that stuff going on in Essos makes it seem that this whole Long Night occurred in both places, so that's pretty much established. But for that to happen more easily is the Essos extends over east and eventually hits, it goes up to the pole and connects to a northern ice pole that connects to both northern Westeros and eastern Essos. So the others could have gone in both directions across there. And maybe it's not connected anymore, but when it gets cold, it might freeze up and connect the chain there. So this site has this guy's theory on Reddit has he drew it up. His idea is maybe the map is incorrect where it shows Muscovy. It actually goes up and we just have the wrong map. So it connects. Essos connects to Westeros through the north, is the theory.
Through the North Pole.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think the third link in there, in this theory, it has the best visual. I'm going to put the link in here. We'll put a link on this with the podcast.
There you go. Amin's sending more pictures. And
yeah.
Stuff, I tell you.
Let me say, Thor Hodor the Thralls theory, so you give credit.
What yeah, like it's possible. There's obviously, we don't see the end of the Essos continent. And as you say, yeah, in A World of Ice and Fire, all these Long Night things happened across the entire world. But I think there's some sort of importance in that Westeros has the only link to the Land of Always Winter. So it makes the stuff that's going on in Westeros that much more important, sort of.
Maybe the only current link. The problem is, if it had all come through Westeros, then getting to Ashai is like the end of the road. It's so long to get over there through Westeros, through the, I don't know, the south, and it comes over. By that point, everybody would be dead by the time you get to Ashai.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense that they would come from that direction, but if they went in both directions, even if there's no current connection now, because Martin, when asked this question years ago, said no, maybe he's covering it, maybe they're no longer connected at this point, maybe there's a gap. But it seemed like they would come from opposite direct, come from the east side and north of Essos, not through Westeros. Mm. And then Dany, the idea that people were talking about, then Dany could fly back that way and hit the wall from that side.
So she has to go east to go west or something anyway, right? So that would make sense. Oh, okay. I've heard more ridiculous theories than this.
The users here on the Reddit seem to really like this one.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I'd like it to be true.
Yeah, and he talks about good stuff there. He talks about the idea of going toward Essos and going toward Muscovy. There's stories of shapeshifters and stuff, which could be skin changes maybe, and there's stories of these kind of little people. I'm not sure if it says little people, but it describes them as lizard men, which could be the children because they're described with kind of animal-like eyes and tinted skin and stuff. So
claws, yeah.
Yeah, and I think there were children of the forest in that whole area of Essos too, in general, that maybe they were killed off.
Yeah, in the forest of Iquafrevron, by where the Dothraki are, there used to be children-like people. So I think they were all distributed over the entire world at one point, but now they're going extinct. So that's entirely possible.
Hmm.
So yeah, give us your feedback on that. What do you think about this theory out there? I think it's pretty cool, even if they're not connected now, maybe they were connected in the past.
It sounds pretty interesting, because Canada and United States and whatnot. Isn't it said that the first people came over the Bering Strait?
Yeah.
When it was frozen over.
Ooh, when it was frozen over.
Maybe you have... So the Long Night happens, everything gets really cold. They first come through Westeros, but then the ice makes an ice bridge between Essos and Land of Always Winter. And so and then they can come that way. So... they go to Westeros first, and if you can kill them while they're in Westeros, then the Long Night won't happen and Essos will be saved. Maybe.
Yeah, and then because right now the focus of the story is Westeros too, he said it, so this is not going to happen, they're not going to show up in Essos this time around. It's going to be resolved faster.
Someone on the Reddit thread linked this where in an interview Martin has asked, does Westeros connect to the eastern continent through the north? And he just says no.
Yeah, he says no, but that doesn't mean it wasn't beforehand. It didn't in the past, right?
Yeah, all you need is an ice bridge, and then people can come over.
Yeah. Does North America connect to Asia now? Well, no, but it's it doesn't need much of a... And it did before, and it doesn't need much now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's hard to think it's true if Martin himself just gave a no, and doesn't hint at anything else.
Yeah.
Seems like if it did,
a hint would be really good.
Well, not currently.
Yeah.
Was sort of been his answer.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's one of his major plot twists or whatever.
It fits with the whole Dany needs to go east to go west. Although, I mean, she doesn't have to go this route. She could just fly over the ocean and that might count as well. But it would be cool if she flew in from the north side of the wall. Like, that'd be pretty intense.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I feel that to go east, you must go west. North, you must go south. George may be regretting that because he was initially intending Danny to go to Ashai. So specifically the last bit, to pass, touch the light, you must pass under the shadow. Now it seems likely that she will not be going to Ashai. So, yeah, how are you going to get out of that, George?
You'll finagle something. The world will just flip upside down.
It's unlikely that he would, like, I mean, like, this is one of those things that even if he was borderline, he could have it. There's nothing in there that says no other than George himself saying no, which is what it is now. It's not the past. So, I don't know. Like, if it's such a big reveal, maybe he didn't want to talk about it. Cool. That was that theory, and I thought it was interesting. And it fits, like, in this chapter itself, it's funny. It's saying, like, for the people coming from the north, like, everything below the wall is the end of the world for them. So, like, and that kind of fits in the idea of, like, you don't have to just, she could go eastwards and up that way and end up in the northwest rows. So
it's all about perspective.
Yeah. Although the other problem was that this is the actual, if it actually was like this on the world, it doesn't quite fit. Like, it's kind of tricky how to get this on a globe. But I mean, continents could be really any shape. They could be funky. They're not like land masses, right? So I don't know.
And George says that as you go further east in the maps, they get more and more inaccurate. So yeah. That could be anything, really.
Cool one, I mean. I like it.
Yeah, so that's what we're keeping up for this podcast. We keep up with these theories. So.
Amin finds these crazy. Do you just scour Reddit for these? Is that what happens?
I had come across the idea, which is true, that flat maps are not the same as globe ones. Like, the globes are more accurate, right? So I think I said, like, search globe Westeros, and then that came up.
Oh. Yeah. I like the little Euron dude on the banner of this Reddit subreddit.
Who's also Benjen and Dario.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. Jeez, what am I saying?
I think that's the joke,
yeah. A mix of everything.
I think I was curious I guess actually you see to what see you if see, somebody huh? was selling a Westeros or Planetos globe. Because that's probably the next thing coming out. Get your Planetos globe.
That's only half done. So like a Planetos hemisphere.
Yeah. Well, you only need the top of it to go over like your drinks, right? You can put it in like all your drinks in there. So then you just.
Sounds nice.
I really do want the entire Westeros Planetos world, but then at the same time, I know George will never release it, and there is some fun in never knowing what it will all look like, but like, maybe I'll kidnap George one day and make him draw it out for me.
maybe we can tell him we'll never give him another of those paint books if he shows us what the complete world looks like. Like, if you guys finally leave me alone.
I do like to think, like, I wonder, like, do you think when he was on his flight home, do you think it was just, like, flipping through the book? He must have flipped through it at least once.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
And then he said never again.
Yeah. And then he threw the second one away, like, a minute after.
Oh, my gosh. I think he has him framed on his wall. I think.
He actually has a lot of stuff framed on his wall at the time that showed the tour of his house. I recognize some of the artwork that's from his earlier books on there.
I remember his room of toys, and he's got those little weird toys from the 70s and stuff. It's, yeah, he's quite a collector.
Nice. I mean, what better collector's item than our art book?
Yeah.
It certainly is one of the more weirder things that you would get from fans. I'm sure it's got a special place in his heart.
It is trash.
Kind of special.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Tanya, are you on Twitter, or can anything you'd like our listeners to check you out at?
No.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to be okay every now and then. But everyone should check out Be Okay and listen to all the episodes about everything.
Nice. What about yourself, Michael? Where can our listeners find you, good sir?
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm on VAK occasionally. I'm thinking of making a Tumblr where I just go over other people's theories and explain why they're shit. Like, yeah. I'm really thinking about that. I just want to rip... there's so many shitty theories that just don't make sense, and it's my duty to tell people why their theories suck. So you might be seeing me soon.
Tumblr has some sort of duty, yeah, or some sort of goal they have. So, yeah.
Do you have a name for this Tumblr yet?
I was thinking The Stranger's Advocate, because it's like, you know, Devil's Advocate, and they're like a...
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, how clever.
I like that.
I like it. I like it. Advocate. Yeah. Well, you better grab it now before this episode comes out. Yeah.
You can also do theory bashing VOKs.
Oh, that'd be really fun. Yeah,
everyone, I think you've... VOKs about everything.
I think you've given me an idea, Tanya.
to contrast the Shaggy cast.
Oh, yeah, wrap us up, Carl, then I have a question for you, I guess.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Amin. Here we go. Well, thank you guys again for joining us. It's been a pleasure to continue our longest-running reread. And for our listeners, you can find us at APOIAF on Twitter. We have a Facebook page. Amin likes artwork, so check us out on DeviantArt. And make sure you join the forums. They're always kicking. So thank you guys again. Until next time.
See you next time. Okay, two really quick points. One is actually, I guess I might actually start the Feast for Crows paint project. I'm going to post about that. We might as well start collecting those, even though we're working on our artwork. And then the second question, the question for you, Carl, is that, did you see the episode I put up for April Fool's?
No.
Yeah, go onto a Podcast of Ice and Fire main page.
Okay. Oh, what is this?
April Fool's. He's scared now.
That's the picture. No, okay. Oh my god.
Press play.
Do people
actually,
play.
Yeah. Press, you're actually in the start of it because it makes sense. You actually are in there in the first minute. So if you.
Oh well, I will have to do this.
Yeah. Okay. Let us know what you think of it.
I really like Mimi's Amber's Mimi accent. It's like so.
She was so excited.
So wrong.
Well, Kyle's gender swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hot. All right. I'm blue-eyed queen, huh? Okay, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
What is that? Check this out. You guys are crazy. Amin does some weird stuff. Tanya, yeah. You're in this?
Yeah.
You're Ashley?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I know what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. Have a good night.
All right. Good night. Thank you guys very much for joining.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. Take care.
Excellent.
Welcome. Thank you. Amin often surprises me with guests. I don't know what
happened. Is that good or bad?
It's fantastic. Actually. There you go. I'm like, I thought it was just me and Amin going to shoot the shit. And then he's like, I got some beeps. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Let's do this.
Well, they prepare chapter recaps too, which is good. So I'll be able to.
Oh, well, you are more than welcome.
Yeah, we do the grunt work.
It was a really short chapter, though. I was super excited that it's a John chapter, but it's so short, which is good, of course. But
I don't think John even says any. Oh no, he says like two sentences.
He says very few things. What he says is kind of shit, of course, because it's John. But he doesn't say much, which is
okay. We're just going to power through it then, the two chapters, and then if we somehow have done early, maybe that theory I posted, but otherwise we'll wrap it up. And at the start, I'll talk about the podcast awards.
Oh.
Fancy. Good, but we'll have Kyle do the intro, I guess.
Yeah, McDonald's is doing their Monopoly thing right now. So is the market down the street from me. Oh, man. Hold on, let me find my record button here.
So wait, there's two sets of Monopoly things you have to collect, or do they add up?
Oh no, they do not add up. It is two sets of random Monopoly things. McDonald's and then Pavilions is the supermarket.
Oh, on the show proper, do you want to mention quickly, or do you think that should be private?
Nope, I will not be mentioning that.
Okay.
Yeah. Another McDonald's advert, isn't it?
Yeah, all paid expense dinner by McDonald's. Yeah.
Nice.
He just has to change his name to Ronald McDonald. It's part of the contract. Okay, so it's going to be episode 192.
Oof, I'm rusty on this one. I haven't done this in a while. All right, everybody ready? Yeah. Let me get my announcer voice on.